B-Pod Studios.
Right now, we are going to talk to a Baseball Hall of Famer, brought to you by Xfinity. Stay connected during the biggest moments of every game with Xfinity Internet, delivering reliably fast speeds, even during peak hours when everyone's online. Learn more at Xfinity.com.
You know, next Monday will be a special call with Jason. Because Sunday, he's throwing out the first pitch. So he'll find himself on the critiquing side of it. So we'll get to critique his first pitch next Monday.
Jason, we might even put you in the Phillies rotation if we have to. Good morning.
I guarantee I won't give up any hits.
Yeah. Well, if you hit somebody, we won't mind that. That's okay.
That's very cool, though. That'll be fun, Jace.
Yeah, well. I've thrown out the first pitch a lot of places, never at Citizens Bank Park. So my goal is I am not going to be a viral video.
Okay? All right, so what is the rule? Can you go to the mound or do you have to stay off the mound?
If you watch closely, very few people who throw out that first pitch actually go to the mound.
Yeah.
So I will go wherever they point me.
Oh, no. Jason, they
put... go to the top of the rubber.
No, I say you go to the rubber. Even if they tell you to stand in front of it, you go to the rubber and show them what you got.
You know what? The goal is never to do that, but a few years ago, I threw out the first pitch in Reading, and it was me and a guy who was the head of the Reading Little League, and he went first. So they handed us the baseballs. We're standing on the grass in front of the mound. He turned around. He marched right up to the top of the rubber and fired a strike, and I thought, okay.
Great. Thanks.
It was airborne. That's the goal.
Yeah. So, Jason, another frustrating series for the Phillies. A 9-6 loss last night. My first question to you is about Mr. Tight Pants, Jake Arrieta. From what we could hear last night on ESPN, you know this better than anybody, it sounded like he was grunting even more after every pitch. Where is he now? What do you think is going to happen in the immediate future with him?
Well, I mean, you can only read between the lines on this, but, you know, up until last night, no matter how much he'd struggled or how short his start had been, he'd always insisted after every game that he could keep going, that he could keep pitching, that he could help. Last night, that crew that was at that game asked him if he thought he could keep doing this, and he paused a long time, didn't say yes. Said that there might be a conversation on Tuesday. I would say that's not a sign that he's going to keep trying to pitch through it. It's just not working, right? Even though we've only known about this for about a month, I think the Phillies have known about it for quite some time. Remember that start in Atlanta, where it was a Sunday last game of the series in Atlanta, and they decided not to pitch him. That was a big talk show topic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, we had heard back then that he was quote unquote dinged up. We couldn't confirm it. Everybody denied it. So it never got reported. But if you go back to that point, last nine starts, his ERA is almost 6. Opponents hitting .322 against him, averaging under 5 a start. Something's been up for quite some time.
Yeah. Jason, last night on the ESPN broadcast, Alex Rodriguez was pretty critical of Gabe Kapler's decision to pitch to Kevin Pillar there late, which ended up being the damaging triple that kind of did him in. What is kind of the sense of Gabe around the league? A-Rod, for him to come out and kind of be very critical of him, I thought was interesting. On the heels of the Bob Nightingale story the other day where he's like, look, you know, he's wanted around the league. The San Francisco Giants will pounce at the opportunity to get Gabe when Bochy retires if they move on. What do you get the sense around the league is the impression that Gabe Kapler has?
You know, I'll be honest. I don't know that it's that much different from the day he was hired. Gabe Kapler is not for everybody, right? The way he goes about it is way outside the box of what most teams look for in a manager. Now, the reason that Bob Nightingale connected him to the Giants is that Farhan Zaidi, who is now the head of the Giants baseball operations, was with the Dodgers when Gabe Kapler was with the Dodgers, and they came close to hiring him as the manager of the Dodgers instead of Dave Roberts. So I can understand how you could connect those dots, but I mean, we're a long ways from trying to figure out what Gabe's next job will be.
Yeah.
There's still some games left.
I found it interesting that A-Rod was so critical last night.
Well, you know, A-Rod will, he'll definitely second guess an in-game decision, but I thought for the most part, he and Gabe were pretty chummy over the course of that broadcast.
Yeah. Chase, when you look at this season organizationally for the Phillies, what's the biggest mistake they've made during this season organizationally?
Well, I think you'd go back to last winter. And, you know, they made a bet last winter that Nick Pivetta, Zach Eflin, Vince Velasquez were better than they looked the second half of last season, that they were ready to take a step, and that you could get to October with that group. And that was a bet that's gone all wrong. I mean, they've underachieved offensively. I don't think that is a result of a front office miscalculation. The bullpen's been a nightmare. That's a result of health. I don't think you could have foreseen that David Robertson, one of the most healthy and consistent relief pitchers in baseball throughout his career, would contribute so little this year. But the decision to bet on this rotation, not upgrade, not add, I think more than anything else, that has come back to haunt them. But there's a lot of reason they're in the mess they're in.
Right. Yeah. Jason, who would you say is the leader of this clubhouse?
Well, I think more and more it's Reese Hoskins' team in a lot of ways. But how are you defining leader? You know, it's
Well, the reason I ask is because, did you catch Jimmy Rollins after the game on Saturday night with Ricky Pitalico?
I
want to play the audio for you and for the people, and I kind of want to get your reaction to it, because I thought it was pretty interesting. So here's Jimmy Rollins Saturday night after, you know, Ricky Pitalico kind of said, you know, who's the leader of this team? Should they have a closed-door players meeting?
It would have happened a while ago. It would have happened maybe a month and a half ago when things started just kind of going, you know, iffy. You know, we win some, we lose some. And then you see the looks on the guys' faces when I walk into the clubhouse. You know, what's the feel when we perform? You know, what does that look like? Do we look like we're trying to win? Are we embarrassing ourselves? Or are we just kind of going through the motions? And if it wasn't me, somebody would, you know, come to me and say, I think this is what we need. And I'm like, you know what, it's a good time. And that's when you have those closed-door meetings. None of the coaches, not the manager, just the players. And just sit there, and you really have to be honest with yourself. It's not the hype that was around before the season. It's who are we today? Who do we want to be going forward? And you have to have those real conversations, because if not, you would do this, you know, and hoping that everything they said about you was true. You have to make that happen on the field. So that conversation would happen a long time ago, but I'm not sure if it did. I'm not sure if it didn't.
So I guess my question is, who's the guy that's supposed to be Jimmy here?
I don't think there is a Jimmy Rollins or a Chase Utley kind of guy in this group, in this mix. I mean, Andrew McCutcheon had some of that going on before he got hurt. He's still around at home, but they lack that. I think they do. I don't know that you can hang what we've seen now since the end of May on that, but it's definitely an area to be thinking about and looking at. You know, I know walking around that Braves clubhouse when they were here, you know, the stature of a Brian McCann, who they brought in, the energy that Josh Donaldson brings to that group, brought him in.
Is it unfair to expect Bryce Harper to step into that role?
You know, I think Bryce is who he is. He's been very accountable. He's been available. I give him a lot of credit for that. He's posted up. He's played every game but one. But I don't think he's quite that personality. He's very driven, but I don't think he's that guy that guys just line up and run through a wall for.
Chase, when you say he is what he is, Bryce Harper, who he is, what scares me is 30 home runs, about 110 RBIs, probably .250 average. That's probably what we're going to get out of him this year. Is that who he is? Is that what you're going to get year in and year out, and is that enough?
I think there's going to be a year ahead where he's more than that, where he, I mean, I said when he signed, I thought he had a 50-homer season in playing in this park. He had a good trip, but as we've talked about all year long, his bat speed's still there. His swing has mechanical issues that has kept him from lifting the ball the way he would need to hit 40 or 50 homers. He swings and misses too much. He chases too much. He struck out late in that game last night on a pitch that bounced, right, that was not hittable. There's been a lot of that. As I said to Mike the other day, he spent a lot of this season trying to force things to happen instead of letting things happen. And it's tough to be that guy who walks into Philadelphia after signing a $330 million contract. I get that. But for that contract to be worth the money, he's going to have to be better. They're going to have to be better.